This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders. On the show today, we have SWM's very own Steve Balian talking about a different take on mergers, reasons why mergers derail, and then how to get them back on track. Steve has some great, great takeaways here, so check it out. And on today's program, we have Steve Balian from SWM. Steve, how are you, sir?
I am great today. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing great, doing great. Better now that you're here. And we're going to be talking about mergers, but it's a totally different angle than I have ever. I'm sure people talk about it, but I have not addressed this angle about mergers on the show yet. And it's reasons why mergers derail and how to get them back on the track. So I'm like, all right, I got to talk to Steve about this for sure. So I'm going to come out of the gate firing both guns here. Why do mergers derail? What's going on here? Why do they not work?
Well, there is a lot going on in mergers, right? In credit union space,
Yeah.
It's a big topic, gets a lot of attention. And I mean, where do we even begin, right? There's so much discussion. And, you know, I think, you know, it's very important to start at the top. Credit union mergers are all about the members, right? It's all about the members. And so, you know, and it kind of depends on the, each transaction is truly unique. So it's a great question. How do they derail? How do you get them back on track? I think first and foremost, if you stay with the concept, it's all about the members,
right?
Then we need to think about, okay, well, like, how do we do that? And what is the member value proposition, right? Because obviously if there's no member value proposition that's satisfied, then there's a problem there. So a couple of things you do is you look at quantitative, qualitative factors. Hey, how are the members going to be served? What's the product mix? What's the delivery?
Mm-hmm.
And so that really goes to some of the fundamental fiduciary duties of the board of directors on both sides, right? So duty of care, do your homework, duty of loyalty, put the credit union's interest first. And, you know, what does that look like? And what happens is you get that filters into a letter of intent. So when you get to that letter of intent stage, it's a really important point where the credit unions are coming together and trying to figure out, hey, does this work? You know, culture matters. How we're going to do this and what the combined entity looks like matters. And I think, you know, in today's world, you know, so many mergers are happening. They're varied sizes. And I think when you look at a merger of peers, particularly, because that seems to get a lot of attention these days, is, you know, hey, how does this work? And is one side willing to give something to get something? Okay.
Yep.
And so I think one of the first points of like derailment is this very point, pivot point of a letter of intent. It's a balance. We need to have a level of detail that really gets us to the next phase of a merger agreement. And yet if you get bogged down, then the whole process begins to stall, right? And so I think it's a delicate balance of really trying to make sure members' interests are taken into account, but also like, how are the boards going to come together, particularly in a merger of peers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So are you combining them? Like, who's the table officer? Are folks willing to give to get something? Because if one side's not willing to give, then obviously the merger's not going to happen. At some point, derailments happen, right? And there's only so much you can do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think getting involved early, planning, you know, seeking out expert information in terms of how do we do this? What do we need to be aware of? What do we need to look for?
Yeah.
So that you can plan and make sure it's a good fit at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like you guys need to put out like the P's and Q's of credit union mergers or something like that. You probably already have something like that, but I'm just off the top of my head. Because they're going to happen. I mean, whether you're for a merger or against the merger, you know, a lot of people on both sides of the fence here, obviously, but it sounds like there needs to be, I'm sure there's some sort of guide out there or some sort of, you know, how to thing to, you know, to cross all your T's and dot all your I's, that type of stuff. Because a lot of folks, this is new. Because I just had a CEO on the show here a few weeks ago. His credit union is going through a merger, but he's been in the industry for 30 years. And this is his first merger. So I think in this day and age, that's really kind of saying something. So because there's so many happening right now. So, but I want to get back to another question I had. So how, I mean, and I don't know if you have this number, but how common is a merger to kind of get called off at the last minute or even does it even get out of the starting blocks? I mean, I don't know if you have that type of information, but I'm just curious to see if there's anything like that out there.
It's a great question. And again, I think it depends like what's happening when and where in the process. So, you know, when you talk about things happening, certainly the members vote on the merger, right? And there are a handful of instances over the years where members say, you know what, this merger doesn't make sense. Right, and they actually voted down. Right. Okay, well, that's their right to vote, and they've spoken, and that's that. I think there, and so it's really hard to give like a percentage per se, but I will tell you that I think there's a lot of discussions out there that, to your point, they don't make it out of the gate. They don't make it out of the train station.
Yeah.
And you just don't hear about it, right? Yeah. But again, I think there's a number of things that can pop up along the way, and maybe a couple of war stories to kind of also just kind of fill you in on like, well, you know, again, derailment, what do we do and how do things and when? So, you know, it's not most people don't look at field of membership and as kind of a pivotal point. But I just want, you know, your audience to know that, you know, if you have a continuing federal credit union and they submit a merger application to NCUA, the first stop is at NCUA's CURE, Creating Resource and Expansion. And they look at FOM compatibility, mm-hmm. which means that you may not be compatible, right? That's why they exist.
Right.
And so you have a situation where you may have one charter type, such as a merging federal community going into a continuing federal multiple occupational common bond, that doesn't work.
Yeah,
now, right. There's ways around it, but I'm just saying, like, there's one pivot point where it's like, hey, we love each other, the culture fits, but oh my gosh, this doesn't work. It doesn't comply with the rules. I think another major issue, particularly in the social media environment, and honestly, just particularly with the divisiveness that's around the country today on almost every issue.
Everything, yes.
Communication, messaging, so important. So, for example, we've had some situations where, you know, member will go into the merging credit union and say, hey, I got this notice. I'm excited for the merger, and I want to talk to my branch manager, and I want to talk to my, you know, my customer service representative who helps me and say, what do you guys think about this merger? And they'll say, we don't know. We haven't been told anything. And so the member's like, well, it says it's in my best interest, but if the people who are taking care of me don't know about this and can't take care of me, then maybe I won't vote for this merger, right?
Yeah.
So kind of going back a little bit on why they derail, how they derail, when they derail,
mm-hmm.
keep it back on track. Again, all these things are so important. Planning, due diligence, messaging, communication, and communication needs to be early and often. Completely. Because, you know, people can find themselves, particularly now, in a very dark place if they don't have information. Or with the great resignation, which I see some stuff coming out, you know, on your show about that topic as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, the war on talent to attract talent, to retain talent. And then if you're going to do a merger and say, you know, hey, Mike, you know, we're doing this merger. By the way, we're going to give you a few more things to do over the next 1 year. there's things like that. But kind of going back to your percentage question, I mean, it's hard to say. I think very few of them, you know, get voted down. I think more often than not, which is hard to quantify, is they don't get out of the gate.
Yeah, and I think you're right.
Because they're private and confidential, you never really hear about it, right?
Yeah, that was just kind of off the top question I had in my head. I mean, obviously we see like a few of the bigger ones, they make the headlines, whether they go through or not. Sometimes they don't go through, and that makes the headlines as well. I think you're spot on. Like a lot of maybe the smaller ones are the ones that don't even get off the ground, and you don't even hear about that type of stuff. So I think you're definitely right in that area. But the other thing that I'm curious about is the ramifications if a merger does go bad. So, I mean, that could be a nightmare, I would think. So if things do go off the rails, right?
Yeah, depending when it goes off the rails.
Yeah, depending on when, you're right.
You know, how badly, right? I mean, you could have some reputation, and certainly there's folks out there that seem to glom onto that, right? And that's some of the stuff that you see in the news, in the media. But I think that's more on the rare side of things. You know, I think credit unions, my mom worked for a credit union. That's how I got introduced.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. So, you know, I think, you know, they work together, they're supportive, they are collegial, mm-hmm. but yeah, I mean, when things go bad, it's not good. I think the later in the process it goes bad.
Yeah, you're right.
That also affects things. So, yeah.
And I'm glad you turned your light back on. That's good.
It's a motion sensor.
You're moving around, Steve. Come on. Have maintenance. Check that out after the show. I think you're right about the credit union industry. It's such a humble industry, and people are very understanding that rarely would you have any, I don't know, dare I say, bad blood happen. Cause I just think people are so understanding about things that go on. So yeah, you're exactly right there.
It's a small industry too. What goes around comes around. I think, you know, you want to, no one wants to get, you know, they want to all have good reputations and we want to work together. And yeah.
Exactly. So you mentioned earlier about some ways to, I mean, keeping communication wide open obviously is a key one. So what are some other ways that credit unions can keep them or get them back on track if they do go awry?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, where they tend to go awry more often is early in the process, right? I think that's where I think boards need to really come together and kind of hone through. And, you know, I think, again, this letter of intent is really where they put like their everything on a page. And it really is, hey, do we have like that kind of blueprint for this merger, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, getting boards together, particularly if it's a merger of peers where they can all work together, can they problem solve together? You know, do we need to get them in a room, all of them, and, you know, have some kind of facilitator where we can talk through the issues,
mm-hmm.
right? Because to your point, you know, this is a once in a lifetime event. Like for a lot of these people, they put their heart and their soul, and there's, you know, I mean, you want to do this right. And you want to do it right from management, from board, from member, from employee, and have that legacy continue. And so, you know, I think, you know, when things begin to, hopefully they don't derail. Hopefully the process is good where people understand that they can get outside expertise and they can get people to help them and see those issues and knock off those issues.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think if it's getting derailed, sometimes, I mean, look, not every merger is meant to be, you know, and, you know, I think it's really important that there needs to be some self-identification of, hey, we need some help, or if what, where are our disagreements? What are our hiccups and how do we overcome them? Because again, if someone's not willing to give something to get something, then there's a problem and maybe there is no way to recover that derailed event. But I think if you're going to recover it, it needs to be early because you need to be on the same page,
mm-hmm.
a lot of work. And I think the planning that goes into it is incredibly important, and being open. I think being nimble, which is a term used a lot, but it's so important in this day and age to really make sure mm-hmm. that it's a good fit, and being willing to roll up your sleeves and do some hard work at the beginning so we don't end up with a one-page letter of intent that really doesn't say anything and doesn't really meaningful.
Yeah, exactly. And I think if you do your due diligence properly, I think you will find out early on whether it's a go or a no-go. So yeah. I think, and going back to the CEO example that I gave earlier about the CEO, they're going through a merger and his first one after, you know, he's been in the industry for 30 years, but they are, talk about doing their due diligence. I mean, both sides, both parties are, you know, no stone is left unturned in this instance. You know, both the boards are talking, both the leaders of the credit unions are talking, you know, they are really got a good plan in place. And yeah, so it's going to be this, it'll be a success. But yeah, I think 9 times out of 10, they're done properly. They're done right. And I think you're exactly right as well that, you know, if it's not a fit, you'll find out early on and then nobody knows about it. You know, it's like, okay, all right, we tried, didn't work. So we'll move on and address this another time type of thing. So yeah,
exactly. But boy, is, you know, I mean, coming off GAC, I mean, yeah, lots of talk in the hallway, lots of talk, you know, all over the place. I mean, it is something that is commonplace and is certainly not going away anytime soon.
Yeah, you got that right. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Got that right for sure. Hey, anything else to add here, Steve, to wrap up? Any other talking points we didn't get to on this one?
I think, you know, just being mindful that NCUA did come out with a updated rule in 2018, and while that's a few years back, there's folks that who've done a lot of mergers before, didn't do it after. Just keep in mind, there's a much more elongated process for voting. Keep in mind that there's a merger-related financial arrangement rule. That's a mouthful. But, you know, NCUA has a very detailed rule to make sure that if there is merger-related compensation arising out of the merger that's being paid to the merging credit union CEO or next four most highly compensated employees, that needs to get disclosed to the members, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, it's a straightforward rule. It's just making sure that people are aware of it and making sure that they pay into it and that they are addressing all of those issues that surround that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that goes back to planning at the very get-go, because it's you know, it's people don't want to put the cart before the horse, but then, you know, we need to figure out what are we doing with board members, executives? How does this line up? Do we need an org chart? Are folks getting compensated? And are they aware that's going to get disclosed to the members? At least potentially, there's a materiality threshold. But like, you know, the merger process has changed. It's a lot more, I mean, scrutiny, for lack of a better word. There's a lot more, I think, detail. Mm-hmm. And so I just want people to be mindful that, you know, I mean, it's a process. It should be.
Oh yeah. Definitely. It's a marathon, not a sprint for sure. Go right. Back to that one. But hey, before I let you go here, I want to give you guys a plug, give you guys a chance to plug your firm and maybe have how you guys help out in the merger area.
Yeah. So, I mean, our firm was founded in 1936, so a long time ago. We have an intergenerational team of lawyers and subject matter experts that support credit unions across the country, including mergers. We do everything like full service, compliance, HR, you name contract, fintech reviews. Been very proud to be in the credit industry for as long as I have. It's a wonderful industry, wonderful people. And if anyone is interested in mergers, I am working with ALM First and Infusion Group on a roundtable here in California. It's April 20th in San Jose, April 21st in Dana Point. So if anybody wants to come to a facilitated roundtable, focus solely on mergers and all the things that come at it from a consultant, legal, and PR messaging point of view, we're trying to put that together to help folks in the industry really understand, ask questions, and, you know.
Oh, cool. Okay. And what are the dates on that one again?
It's April 20th in San Jose.
Okay.
You can certainly reach out to us for information. You can look us up at our firm, reach out to us. We'll get back to you. Dana Point, April 21st.
Okay.
And I can give details regarding, you know, the exact times and all the parameters that, or, you know, if anybody wants to reach out.
Sure. Yeah. We'll put the link in the show notes so people can get to it and get some more information if you want.
Cool. So that would be wonderful. That'd be great.
I think that'll be very popular for sure. Yeah, a lot of people have questions, lots of questions. So good stuff. All right, Steve. Well, I'm going to let you get back to work because it sounds like you got a lot on your plate and we don't want to keep you from it. But thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate it. This is good stuff.
Thank you, Mike. Really appreciate it.
This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders.